Well, our staff had a wonderful time of prayer this week as we drove around the neighborhood where we sent this postcard. And I know probably there's about 10 or 15 families in our church that live within that space. So I just wanted to let you know that we prayed specifically for you. We prayed for your experience of Advent, and we prayed that the Lord would use you as a light to shine in your neighborhood, to shine at your workplace, to shine in your family, so that Jesus may be known. So God bless you during this next 3 weeks of waiting and anticipation, that God would bless you in such a way that you are a blessing to others. I had an issue the last month or two. I got a new laptop, and I brought the laptop here to church. I thought it was great because I could put the laptop up here, and I could make the words of the sermon a little bit bigger so that I could see them better. But several weeks I got up here, I put the laptop down, and the screen would just go blank, which was sort of a problem, but not really, because I had a backup. I had my notes here, so I just pulled them out and preached the sermon. Not a few weeks later, same thing. I put the laptop down, the light goes blank. I didn't know what was going on, and so last week I was at home, and I was playing some music with one of my daughters. I brought the music up on the laptop, and I put the laptop down on the thing in front of me, and sure enough, the light went off again. I said, "Megan, look, the light went off again. This happened to me when I was preaching at the church and everything." And she's like, "Daddy, let me help you." I'm like, "No, no." You know, she's like, "No, she's like 8 years old. No, I got this." So I get the thing, I set it back up, I set it down, the light goes off. "Daddy, let me help you. Let me help you." No, you don't know anything about computers. What do you know about computers? But the third time, I set it down, and from her vantage point, she could see that every time I set it down, there was a little button, and that button was getting pressed, and it was turning off the screen. All I had to do was press the button again, and the screen would come back on. So it turns out, as I reflect on this experience, I'm kind of independent. I don't really want to be seen as someone who needs help. And sometimes I won't accept help until I'm desperate. I just don't know what to do, and I have to figure out this problem. I think all of us probably at one time or another struggle with getting advice from someone. Wouldn't you say? When it comes to computers, not that big of a deal. You know, you'll be a little frustrated. But what about when it comes to finding direction in life? What about then? What about the advice that we get there? Do we know where to go to get the best advice? And is it possible that, like in my case with this computer, that a child actually might have the answers to some of our problems? This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet said to the people, the Jewish people. And so we're going to take a look at it. It's Isaiah 9 and verse 6. If you have the take home from inside the bulletin, you can pull that out. It has written there the scripture we're going to look at. We'll also bring it up here on the screen in just a minute. But before we do that, I need to give you a little bit of a history lesson before we begin reading this, because it's important to know the context. When we read the Bible, it's really important to know the context of the verses that we're reading so we can understand it better. And the context of this particular scripture is that this is 800 years before the events of the New Testament. So the Jewish people have been waiting a long time for the Messiah, and they're still going to have to wait another 800 years after this. The Jewish people have really left the law of God. They're not paying attention to the law of God, and they're not paying attention to the testimony of their ancestors who spoke about connecting with God's word and living out God's word. They've kind of set that aside. They are now consulting mediums and spiritists, and they are asking the dead what they should do, instead of consulting God. So instead of getting the best advice, they're getting the worst advice. The kings and counselors of the nation are trusting in other nations to save them because they have some military battles that they need to face. So they're going to other nations to say, "Can you help us?" instead of going to God. And what Isaiah says in this scripture He says that if they continue this line, if they continue doing this, they're going to be distressed. They're going to be hungry. They're going to become enraged. They're going to curse their king, who is leading the charge, and they're going to curse their God. And Isaiah says, in the end, it's all going to be darkness for them. It's going to be dark. Now, part of that darkness that they're right now experiencing as we read this scripture is that an opposing army has boots on the ground. And they have put boots on the ground in a place for the Jewish people where it was an important trade route. And so the Assyrians are going to begin to take over their nation. And what Isaiah says is that exactly at the place where the Assyrians have their boots on the ground, it's what we would later call Galilee. And he says, in Galilee, a light is going to shine. A child is going to come. And so this is it. This is verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, "For unto us," unto the Jewish nation, "a child is going to be born. To us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called," say that with me, "Wonderful Counselor. And he will be Mighty God. He will be Everlasting Father. He will be Prince of Peace." So this child is a Wonderful Counselor. He's a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. Is Isaiah talking about a human king here? Is he talking about like the next king that's going to take over is going to be really great, whereas the kings before him weren't maybe so great? Is that what he's saying? Well, the other nations, the Assyrians and Egypt, for instance, they would make really bold claims about their king. They would make claims like this about their kings, that their kings were, in fact, deity. But the Hebrew people never made extravagant claims like this. So we don't believe Isaiah is saying that the next king, or there's going to come a king, a human, only a human, that is going to be these things. It's pretty clear from Isaiah's description of the character of this person and this child, it can only lead us to believe that this is not just a man, but that this is a God-man. That this is not just a child, but a God-child. And so we're going to focus today on just two words of this passage, and that is Wonderful Counselor. We'll get to Mighty God next week, and the following week we'll get to Everlasting Father, and the week after that we'll get to Prince of Peace. But we need to start with Wonderful Counselor. Isaiah's vision here in Isaiah 9 is pretty simple. I'll just summarize it for you. God has an answer to the people's problems, and that answer comes in the form of a child. Honor, light, success, joy, and in their case, they really needed safety because of the war. That all comes from a child and from the advice that is given by this child and by the advice that is taken by the people from this child. So Isaiah, though he paints a pretty dark picture about what's going to happen, I think what Isaiah is trying to say to the people is, take God's advice now. Take his advice now. Let me show you what's going to happen in the future. But take God's advice now. Take his counsel now. Isaiah is saying much the same thing as the writer of Proverbs. In Proverbs 13 and verse 10, the writer of Proverbs says, "Wisdom is found in those who" what? "Wisdom found in those who take advice." So taking advice is an important lesson for you and I to learn. The thing about advice is that it's important that you understand who you are taking your advice from, that you need to take advice from the right person. Now, what qualifies this particular child to give advice to the Jewish people and to you and I today? Well, let's stop for a moment and just think about our own context and our own culture. If you were looking for a counselor today, what kind of characteristics would you look for? Someone that's trustworthy. Godly. Experienced. What else? Sympathetic. Okay. These are some great qualities. I asked some people on Facebook this week. They said someone who's attentive, someone who's compassionate, sympathetic, someone who's honest that will tell you actually what they think about your situation. But one thing caught me that someone told me on Facebook. They said, I'm looking for someone who will share their similar experiences so I won't feel like a crazy person. Have you ever felt kind of crazy because you're wondering, am I the only one who deals with this particular issue? The person said, the things that we go through in this human experience sometimes make us feel alone in our trials, whether they're past trials or whether they're present trials. Nobody wants to feel alone in those things. Take a look at this scripture, which I believe answers what that person's looking for in a counselor. It says, we don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He's experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him. Let's get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. Now this comes from the Message paraphrase from the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. What is the writer of Hebrews saying? He's saying that this person, or this priest, as he says, whom we know as Jesus, has been through everything that you're going to go through or have been through, except for the sin part. So this word counselor then focuses on the humanity of Jesus. This child is man, yes. And Jesus was a man, yes. Because he was a man, he understands exactly what you are going through. Now, if you, like the people in that were part of the Jewish nation, if you feel dishonored, if you feel some bit of darkness in your life today, if you feel failure or sadness, if you feel some insecurity, if you feel like you need some direction in your life this week, then Isaiah says that you can take advice from this counselor because he understands you. He understands what you're going through. So it's important for us when we come to a counselor to know that this person has a sense of what we're talking about, that they will understand. But as important as that isn't enough, is it? When you go to somebody, you want to know that they understand you, but you also want to understand that they can actually help you get beyond where you are. And Isaiah answers that issue. He says, you can take advice from this child because not only is he a counselor, does he understand what you're going through, but he's also wonderful. Now, what does that mean? We use the word wonderful a lot in our culture. What does that mean? Well, let's go back to the context, which is the Hebrew context. And the Hebrew word for wonderful is pele. Pele. Okay? When I look at words like this, my mind wants to make some connection to something that I understand or know. I see some people smiling right now. Pele. Well, it turns out that there was one of the greatest soccer players in all of the world. He's a legend. I've never seen him play. I don't even think I've maybe even seen clips on TV of him. But he is an absolute legend. And he was, as a child, he was given the nickname Pele by his friends in Brazil. He was given this nickname Pele, which the word means a wonder or a miracle. And it turns out this guy was so good as he got older, he was so good that he was a wonder, or he was a miracle on the soccer field. So this little boy that was given the nickname Pele eventually grew up, and he grew into his name. He became his name. And it turns out what Isaiah is saying here is that this child that he's talking about is going to grow into his name. He's going to be a wonder of a counselor. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. He's going to be a miraculous counselor. He is going to live up to this name that I give him. And it turns out Isaiah was right. How did Jesus live up to the word wonderful? Well, it's wonderful in how Jesus came into the world. Jesus came into the world without a human father. There was no human father involved. We call that the virgin birth. That Jesus came into the world, and it's a wonder how this happened, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of this young girl named Mary. So he didn't come from earth. That's a wonder. It's a wonder that at age 30, he began speaking. And the people said that he spoke with authority. He spoke like he wasn't from this earth, because he wasn't from this earth. And there was wonders in the miracles that he performed, in healing people, in bringing people back from the dead. He brought the healing of heaven down to earth. And it's a wonder that after willingly dying on the cross, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. No one's been able to do that before or since. So the word wonder then focuses us on his divinity. Jesus is wonderful. He's a wonder. He's a miracle. He's God in a human body. And here's why this should matter to you. Okay, here's the bottom line. Because he's God, he can counsel you with all the wisdom that you need. And he counsels you with the very best advice. He has all the wisdom that you need. And the thing is, to me, the biggest wonder to me is how Jesus came to me at the most critical time of my life and how he gave me direction for my life. I literally weep when I think about what my life and the trajectory of my life, where I was when I found Jesus and received his counsel. Had I not received that counsel, I can see where I would be today. And all I can do is weep about that. That Jesus stepped in and gave me his miraculous wisdom. And I think most of the people in this room could stand up and say the same thing I'm saying about this. We found in Jesus all the wisdom that we need. So you can take advice from this child because he's not just a counselor, but he's a wonderful counselor. Now, I know sometimes here at church, not everybody actually wants to be here. For me, it was 10 years of my life. I went to church, and I went to church because somebody else wanted me to be there. I didn't want to be there. And if that's you today, I'm sympathetic with you in that regard. You're not ready to take the advice of Jesus today, probably. There will come a day when you will need that advice, and you will know that you need that advice. You'll be like me with that computer saying, I just don't know what to do here. I need help. Maybe this kid over here can help me. You will come to that point in your life, and I just want to encourage you that there is a place that you can come, that Jesus is a wonderful counselor, and he will be a wonderful counselor to you. And it doesn't matter that you spent 10 years like I did not paying attention to his advice. When you turn to Jesus, he will turn to you. And actually, he's already turned to you, and you'll just be turning to him, is really theologically how it works. So there is a place that you can go when you're ready, if today's not the day. Jesus will be your wonderful counselor. Now, what about those of us who are ready? What does it look like for us to take the advice of the wonderful counselor? Well, we can learn from the mistakes of the Jewish people. That would be a good thing, better than learning from our own mistakes. Let's learn from the mistakes of others. They were not asking for God's advice. They were God's people in name. They had the name God's people. But they weren't God's people in their actions. And I can remember that. I remember calling myself a Christian for a long time, but I wasn't taking any counsel from Jesus. And the main reason was I didn't know any better. I didn't know what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. I didn't know what it meant to be connected to Jesus. And maybe that's you today. You just don't know any better. You don't know what it means to take advice from Jesus. And you may have the idea that Jesus and church is like the main thing about that is that it's just going to heap more guilt and shame on you. Most of us already have like this guilt-shame mechanism in our lives, right? We already know how bad we are in some senses. We don't need someone to tell us even more about that. We want someone that can pick us up out of that shame and guilt and give us new life. And I want to tell you and show you a different perspective today. The scripture that surrounds the verse that we read today says that this child will shine a great light, that this child will increase the nation's joy, that this child will cause them to rejoice like at harvest time when they bring in a huge harvest. This child will shatter the yoke of burden that's on their backs right now. That doesn't sound like more guilt and shame to me. You see, Jesus doesn't come to bring more guilt and shame. He comes to break that yoke of oppression that we feel, that sin has upon us. So who doesn't want more light and more joy and more freedom? That's what Jesus wants to bring into your life as a wonderful counselor. If you want to be a Christian more than just in your name, then you can stop doing things your way and you can turn to Jesus. And here's the beautiful paradox of this. When you give up control to Jesus, you will receive light, you will receive joy, you will receive freedom, the very thing that you want and seek. So what does it look like to take advice from the wonderful counselor? Again, we can learn from the Jewish people. Instead of taking advice from God, they were taking advice from mediums and spiritists, and they were looking to the dead. They were looking in the wrong places. And I want to talk to our young people here today. We have some junior hires, senior hires, people college age, maybe anyone under 30. This is your part of the sermon. You have lots of places that you could go to for advice. You have your family, you have your friends, you have the media. There's lots of places to get advice. And the book of Proverbs says that actually in a multitude of counselors there is safety or victory, in a multitude of counselors. So it's good to have a multitude of counselors. But the problem with a multitude of counselors is that you don't always know how to evaluate the counsel that they give you. So if you ask 10 people, you know, what is it you should be doing or becoming, you might get 10 different answers. How do you evaluate those things that you're hearing? One of the biggest challenges of a young person's life is knowing how to discard bad advice. That's where the wonderful counselor comes in. Followers of Jesus evaluate everything that they hear by what Jesus says. And it's easy. You go to the Bible and you open it up, and most of the Bibles these days have red letters. If you want to know what Jesus said, look for the red letters. And evaluate everything that you hear and the advice that you get on those red letters. And actually, we could say the black letters are also great, because all the black letters eventually point to Jesus. Even here in Isaiah, these aren't red letters. They point forward to Jesus. What does it look like to take advice from the wonderful counselor? We can learn from the Jewish people. Most of them were simply going through the motions, doing some of what God said, but with very little heart. And so this is my challenge for those of us who have been Christians for a long time, myself included. As far as the wonderful counselor goes, you may feel like you're seeing a counselor. Maybe your spouse ever told you to see a counselor, right? I have this all the time. A spouse is told, you should go see a counselor. And then that person comes into my office. They're not there because they want my help. They're there because they're trying to appease their spouse who told them that they should go get counseling. See how that works? And sometimes for those of us who have been Christians a long time, it can be like, yes, we know the wonderful counselor. We go see the wonderful counselor every week on Sundays, but we're just going through the motions. Let's be honest. Sometimes the fire is gone. We need God to restore the joy of our salvation. We're just going through the motions sometimes. It's just another Christmas time. Well, I want to invite you to meet the Christ child again, maybe even as if for the first time, to become like a child yourself this Advent season, to relive those early days when you first understood who Jesus was and it lit a fire in your soul. Remember when Jesus broke the yoke and oppression of sin that was on you and brought joy unspeakable into your life? I want you to go back to those days. Remember that. Remember what the wonderful counsel has done for you. And then there's one last group, I guess, or there's the second to last group I'd like to talk to, is those who feel pretty beat down by life right now. You feel troubled about what you see going on in our world, or what you see going on in your little part of the world, your family or your work or wherever you are. Isaiah told us that Jesus would live up to the word wonderful counselor the first time he came. But Isaiah saw something else in the future that hasn't yet been fulfilled, and that is what we call the second coming of Jesus. So Jesus will continue to live up to his name even in the future. The Isaiah passage isn't done yet. There's still more to come. And it says that the government of the world will eventually be on the shoulders of Jesus. That didn't happen the first time that he came. That's yet to come. The increase of his government of this world, there will be no end. And it says that terrorism and war will end, and in its place will be peace. Is that a good word for us today? Is that a word that we need to hear today? I think so. Every week of my life, just about, somebody asks me to refer them to a counselor. And I find great joy in helping people find a counselor. But I find even greater joy when they find the counselor I sent them to, and that person helps them. And the person comes back to me and says, "Thank you for telling me about counselor A. This is changing my life. This is making a huge difference in my life." Now, if you are feeling particularly strong in your faith during this Advent season, I want to speak to you for a moment. Perhaps this Christmas season, God is going to use you to introduce people to this wonderful counselor that we have. There's no greater joy than you could get than doing this. Now, who would have thought that a child could have the answers to our problems? I didn't. I didn't want the help of a child. Who would have thought that a child could give us such wonderful counsel? As it turns out, the scriptures that you hold in your hands that we have under the chairs here all point us to this wonderful counselor, and is wonderful counselor for us. All of us who are here today that are Christians have the Holy Spirit living within us, and it's really great what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit is a counselor as well. So Jesus has given you his Spirit, so his counsel is inside of you, and you can consult the Holy Spirit about the things that concern you today.